things that could be said about today's solemnity, whether it's the absurdity and recklessness of Herod in his rage of sending out the soldiers to kill all males 2 years old and younger to be slaughtered for fear of this newborn king, to the science behind the star itself, to the gold, the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, I'd like to focus this morning briefly on the journey of the three wise men, the Magi, and what they were seeking and whom they were seeking in the person of the Christ child. In some regards, it makes sense that the wise men went to Jerusalem at the sight of the star. After all, if you were looking for a newborn king, Jerusalem would be the place to go. That's where King Herod was and where he was living. So it made sense to go and look, at least from a human perspective, for a king there. And really, through no really fault of the Magi, Bethlehem and Jerusalem are not that far apart. In fact, today, Bethlehem is really, in a certain sense, a suburb of Jerusalem. The city centers of both cities today are only 8 miles apart. So if you're following a star, and it's supposed to be in Stafford and happens to be over in Triangle, you might say, well, it's close enough, right? So you might say, well, I'm sure it's in Triangle because that's where the kings are, right? That's where the Marines are, right? So finally, upon learning from Herod, who of course is troubled by this message and this journey that the three kings have made, the three wise men rather have made, they finally go to Bethlehem. And in a certain sense, from a purely human perspective, you might think that the wise men might have been disappointed at what they found. They're looking for a newborn king. So naturally, they go to Jerusalem, where they'd expect to meet him in a palace. But instead, exceeding all of their expectations, and in a certain sense, perhaps to a certain degree, even contradicting them, they find the newborn king in poverty, in humility, in a scene that looks very unfit for a king. And yet, deep down under the veneer of what they see, they come to realize that, in fact, it is really in this humble and poor child that the hope of humanity rests. Listen to the words of Pope Benedict in regards to this event. He writes, "The Magi set out because of a deep desire which prompted them to leave everything and begin a journey. It was as though they had always been waiting for that star." The reaction says it all. They humbly prostrate themselves in front of this poor child. Now, just think of the scene for a second, because these are three wise men of obvious clout, wealth, and importance. And they are prostrating themselves in front of a child who socioeconomically is lower than they are. It's really remarkable if you think about it. I can only imagine what the Blessed Mother must have been thinking, because these three wise men would have been quite a sight to see, with their camels and their gold, their frankincense and myrrh, coming into Bethlehem, which is a very, very poor town, still is today. You know, it's, you know, like, let's say if a really, really wealthy person walked into a slum, that person really stands out. And everyone in town kind of looks around and says, look who's here, so-and-so is here. It might have been that kind of sense of things. But it is to say that in that child, in our Lord, the wise men found the answer to the deepest longing and longings of their hearts. Not in any ordinary human way, for this is not an ordinary king that they have come upon. He's the person who actually answers the very deepest longings of their heart. Beyond all their wealth, all their science, all their knowledge, all of their conventional wisdom, the child Jesus answers the questions about their existence, where they came from, where they might be going, and the meaning of life. In a way, then, the journey of the three kings, historically accurate as it is, serves as a type of metaphor for you and for me in our journey to seek the Lord, which, of course, begs a couple of questions worth putting forward today in regards to what we do seek or whom we seek. Just coming back from a couple of weeks of travel, I always enjoy my time in airports, not because of the waiting or the delays or the super expensive food or any of the things that go along with the negative aspects of travel, but I really like to observe people around me and just to sort of see, you know, what's important to them, what they're reading, what they're up to, what they talk about, what's important. And it occurred to me on the way home, and just got in last night, it occurred to me that in regards to the three kings, the three wise men, it begs us to ask the question, what do we seek? What are we about? Why do we live the way in which we do? For example, if I were to put the question out to you, what's important? What or whom do I seek? For many people, and that's necessarily in this church or in others, but just in general, in the population, what's important? To many people, financial security. Not as a means, but as an ends. Or, for those of you in school, the perfect GPA. Straight A's. Not as a means, but as an ends unto itself. For others, it's the ideal physique. I want to look good. That's far more important than my soul. I know many people who are devotees of the gym, not devotees of the church. Not to say that you can't be both, but certainly the body will die. The soul lives on forever. For others, just coming back from vacation, what's important? What consumes my thoughts? Well, having been on vacation, a lower handicap. When will I break 90? When will I break 80? Will I ever shoot par? You scratch golfer. These things consume people more so than their own salvation. It's true. Then there's the other question that comes to mind. Is my zeal for discovering Christ as intense as my devotion and love of my interests, like my hobbies, or even this time of year, my favorite NFL team in the playoffs? What really consumes me? What am I really thinking about? And so throughout this entire journey that the wise men make, and it must have taken at least a couple of years, who knows, they were participating in a process of conversion. Remember, these are Gentile pagans. They're not Christians. They're not even Jews. I don't even know what kind of religion they might have followed, if any. They could have just been agnostic, just believe in some higher power, but no personal God. Who knows? We don't know. It's not really that important. But what is important is after they make that visit to Bethlehem, they're converts. You know, this is one of the first RCIA classes ever. Took a long time. A couple years journey. A lot of purification. Which, of course, leads to another question. If you notice that this journey of theirs required perseverance, endurance, faith, and a real zeal and desire to accomplish that which had been put before them, we may ask ourselves, am I willing to persevere in the journey? It gets rough at times, no doubt. There are moments when it's easy to go back to my old ways or to abandon progress that I've made by God's grace. It even begs the question, even when I pray, am I willing to give the Lord my best, that is, my gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Or does Jesus just get the leftovers at the end of the day? maybe sadly an afterthought in the very, very busy, busy schedule that I keep. All of these things come to mind, and if you notice, the wise men have very little speaking parts in the Gospels. They don't really say much. Their mere presence, their desire to be in communion with God, person to person, less of a dialogue of words, but more of a dialogue of hearts that occurs as they gaze upon that infant in the creche. So we pray today for an awakening, an epiphany, a manifestation of sorts in our own lives. These wise men probably had no idea that their story would be recorded for all posterity in Scripture, in perpetuity. They ask us to examine in ourselves whom we seek. What kind of zeal do we have for the Lord? Is it obscured by other things so much more, less important? And are we willing to, in fact, persevere and give the Lord our best when we seek Him out, which should be always in our hearts? Let us pray today that wise men still seek Him, that they will continue to put aside all of the things that hinder them from finding the Lord in Bethlehem, so that they may find Him in eternal life in heaven. O Mary, conceived without sin,